Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you on this Wednesday. No quarterback club today. Quarterback club is actually Friday. We're actually going to do one for the Peach Bowl. Yesterday was Hoops Club. And yeah. great to have you on the show today. All right. So, a lot going on, including in the transfer portal, of course, in the 30-day window now. I think it opened up on the 4th of December, which means it's open until January 3rd. And of course, there are a lot of names in there. I don't know how many are there now. ₿1,600 names, maybe. But the quarterbacks are the big ones. And somebody said, "Well, this is quite the quarterback group." And I said, "Really? Really? No." And so let's look at the Heisman finals. Let's start with that. Bo Nix, transfer. Michael Penix, transfer. Jaden Daniels, the eventual winner, transfer. The only one that was not was the wide receiver, Marvin Harrison Jr. Everybody else is a transfer. Okay, I got it. But there are circumstances behind most of them. Dillingham was the coordinator at Oregon. He was Bo's old quarterback coach. Made sense. Then Dillingham took the 1 year with Bo and then turned it into the Arizona State head coaching job. Kalen DeBoer had been the offensive coordinator at Indiana when Michael Penix did so well. Then he left, got the Fresno State job, then he quickly got the Washington job after that. So it was natural for him to go there. Daniels was, I mean, everything at Arizona State was a mess. He graduated, by the way, in 3 years. And he put together a great couple of years with LSU, tremendous, and, you know, and earned his Heisman Trophy. But just because it happened there, everybody's looking for that lightning in a bottle. So Tyler Van Dyke transferred from Miami and ended up at Wisconsin. So Penn State, in theory now, will have to play him next year because Penn State plays at Wisconsin on the 26th of October, I believe, after the bye week. And Van Dyke is a good quarterback. But this is how Wisconsin has been trying to solve their quarterback issue. Now, part of it has been new head coach. Usually a new head coach does lead to, rarely do they end up inheriting and keeping the guy they have. Rare these days. Usually the guy that they have leaves. Okay? But for the ones that work out, and I already outlined the Heisman finalists, in many ways, it's the homegrown guy that sticks around. when I look at the group in the transfer portal, Ward of Washington State, DJ, Oregon State, McCord, Ohio State, Dylan Gabriel at Oklahoma, who ended up at Oregon, Riley Leonard left Duke. He ended up as we thought he would at Notre Dame. Hey, where's Notre Dame better? Hartman was better with Notre Dame, made Notre Dame better, but they were better to the tune of 9-3. Nobody thinks Notre Dame is a better football program. Now, they're a better quarterback, but they are a better program? No. Riley Leonard, in all likelihood, is not going to increase Notre Dame's chances. With all due respect, I'm not saying he's bad. I'm just saying that the odds of getting better are limited. Remember when Luke Fickell took over at Wisconsin? Tanner Mordecai, he's going to be the guy. He is going to come in. He's going to get it done. And he got hurt. But before he got hurt, was doing well, but not great. And that's in typical of everything that's going on. DJ went from Clemson to Oregon State. And I can understand why he's leaving Oregon State. He's leaving Oregon State because now they're kind of in that gray area with Washington State. And that's why Ward left Washington State. I mean, those two schools are stuck in the gray area. And so that part I understand why they do it, but everybody's just searching for somebody right now. You have multiple running backs, tight ends, multiple wide receivers, multiple offensive linemen, defensive linemen, linebackers, secondary. You got multiple people playing across the board, except at one position, quarterback. There's only one. So with only one, the ones that don't get there hit the portal or just don't feel like they're getting there in their current situation, like Van Dyke at Miami, they hit the portal. But you have to be... I'm looking at the list of guys in the portal. Who would I rather have? Would I rather have a guy in the portal, or would I rather have Drew Aller and Bo Perbula? By a wide margin, I'd rather have Drew and Bo. That's me. By a wide margin, I'd rather have Drew and Bo. And I think that's, in the end, if you can develop your own quarterback, which, to the credit, Jim Harbaugh has done with J.J. McCarthy, Jalen Milroe with Alabama, the kid at Georgia. He's good. He's a good player. Is he a great player? No, he's a good player, though. Because you look at other guys along the way. Indiana's been searching for that guy in the portal, haven't found him. Northwestern's been searching in the portal, can't find him. Hudson Card this year was the guy at Purdue. Eh. Jeff Sims at Nebraska. Eh. Again, part of that's the coaching change. Right? Cade McNamara at Iowa. Deacon Hill at Iowa. I mean, you keep going round and round with all these guys that if they give a shot to. And there are more misses than hits. That's my point. It does not solve everything. Did it solve everything at Washington? Yes. Did it solve everything at Oregon? Yes. Did it solve what they were doing, at least offensively, at LSU? Yes. They just can't play defense. But Alabama, Milroe, homegrown. Kid at Georgia, homegrown. Cook at Missouri, homegrown. You know, McCord, of course, was homegrown. Now he's put his name into the portal, but he was their starter this past year. And these are the top 10 teams in the country. Ewers, to me, doesn't count because he was going to go to Texas, but because of state law, he did that one-year deal at Ohio State. Then he transferred to Texas because he wasn't allowed to reclassify and qualify for NIL money. Now, Texas has since changed that law. That's why when I look at him, like, well, he's a transfer. It's like, I'm saying to myself, like, sort of. He was on the scout team at Ohio State. Which, if you recall correctly, on this show when talking about when he went to Ohio State, oh, he's going to compete with Stroud. I said he'll be the fourth string quarterback. He'll be on the scout team. And people looked at me like I was nuts. I'm like, okay. All right. Okay. Fine. He ended up throwing, what, two passes? Because he was the fourth team scout team quarterback. And then after his freshman year was over with, he didn't have to apply for reclassification. He already was in the proper class, so he transferred to Texas, which is what everybody thought he was going to do originally. I mean, anybody I know didn't think he was going to transfer to Texas. Everybody thought he was transferring to Texas. There were some people at Iowa State thought they could hang on to him. Hey, you know, once he's here, we'll be able to convince him. Then they were disappointed when they couldn't convince him. I'm like, I'm sitting here like, what'd you expect? I mean, that's. So I've always kind of felt he was a gray area in the transfer portal. And portal, you can enter. Once you enter it, you're in. You don't have until January 3rd to decide where you're going. You just have to have your name in by January 3rd. Right? After that, if you wanted to commit in February, you can. So this is that first 30-day window. The other one's, what, 15 days at the end of April? Something like that. We'll take a break. I'm back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay, finals week here at Penn State. I know basketball-wise, they did go yesterday, they're going today. Because a lot of professors scheduled finals the final week of the semester, basketball only has five finals total, whole team, this week. Like Kanye Cleary, for example, I was talking with him yesterday. He says, I finished last week, I'm done. So now they're in basketball-only mode. Football, they've had six practices so far for football for the bowl game. Their next practice is Friday. They go Friday, Sunday, Monday. There'll be practices 7, 8, and 9. When they're all done with it, they'll have 14 practices. So that's how that part plays out in terms of how the schedule's working out. And, so now next half hour, I want to get into and by the way, Johnny Dixon accepted a Reese's Senior Bowl invitation, which I think most people do know, and again, my point about the transfer portal is it's not always the be-all, end-all. If you're smart about it, and Penn State has been smart about it, you get Johnny Dixon smart. They get Chop Robinson smart. They get Hunter Norzad smart. Dante Cephas. Okay, I thought that was a very good move. They get Derek Tangelo, Arnold Ebiketie. You know, they've been able to, you know, but they haven't done it in mass. And that's been the important part. They have not done it in mass. They've been selectively. They've used their own, let's bring in recruits. Let's develop guys. You know, you look across the board. Olu homegrown, Wormley homegrown, Wallace homegrown, right? Ioane, okay? Nelson was a JC transfer, but essentially homegrown. Singleton, Allen, Warren, Johnson, Keandre Lambert-Smith, Amari Evans, Caden Saunders. You know, these are all homegrown guys. Defensively, same thing. Adisa Isaac, Denai Dennis Sutton, Zariah Fisher, Jamel Lyons, and Devon Ellis, and Kozai Izzard. You know, I mean, you know, linebackers, Jacobs and Carter, and Kobe, Kalen King. I mean, they're all homegrown guys. They've been very selective as to how they've done the transfer portal. I think that's the smart way to do it. The top teams in the country, unless they're in a desperate situation when a coach comes in and all of a sudden they lose everybody or whatever, right, which can happen. That is, it's the programs that are down and out that feel they need to make massive changes. But, or in basketball, if you're in a situation like Mike Rhodes, he walked in, there are three guys there. We're a little short. We may have to get some guys.
It's oil heating season, the best time of all, and Midpen Energy always has you covered. Save yourself time and hassle with their online ordering service through jjpowell.com. You'll be heating with confidence this winter with the exceptional service from Midpen Energy. They provide all your home heating needs, plus HVAC repairs and servicing. Trust their friendly, trained experts at Midpen Energy for new systems, repairs, and maintenance, no matter the temperature outside. Midpen Energy, now offering free delivery on orders of 100 gallons or more. Visit jjpowell.com.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, KROTS 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. For Kia Hyundai, the best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors guarantee. Terrific service department that backs it up. Routine, difficult to handle it all, and they're always looking for more technicians. You want to be a part of a great group? Here's your chance to be a part of a great group. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. All right. So we're talking about the transfer portal. And with Tyler Van Dyke going to the to Wisconsin. So Penn State is going to potentially face him. Because they play at Wisconsin next year on the 26th of October. They'll play you at USC, then a bye week, then at Wisconsin. And it brought up the topic of quarterbacks in the transfer portal. And again, I strongly, strongly feel Penn State, for example, I mean, Penn State's not in the market for a quarterback in the transfer portal. Between Drew Aller, Bo Prabula, Jackson Smolak, and then an incoming freshman that is expected to sign a week from today, whose name I can't mention until he actually signs a week from today. Okay, so my apologies. Again, that's all part of the NCAA rules that I can't do that. So Penn State's in great shape there. Ain't sure. Have there been quarterbacks that have left here that were backups? Tommy Stevens was a backup, left, went to Mississippi State. Will Levis was a backup, left, went to Kentucky. And to his credit, thrived at Kentucky and is now doing, I think, fairly well, in my opinion, with the with Tennessee. Big win on Monday night over the Dolphins. So that is I think some places feel they have to do it. I have to change my quarterback. I have to do this. I have to get a fresh face in here. I think it's an upgrade over what we had. But Penn State, for example, is not in that spot. As are several other programs, not in that spot. I think UCLA is currently not in that spot. We'll see what J.J. McCarthy decides on his future at Michigan, because he is eligible if he wants to go to the draft. He's been there 3 years. Kyle McCord made his decision. He transferred out. So, that is the story with transfer portal. I mean, that's where we are right now, the transfer portal and the quarterbacks being the hot names. But again, somebody asked me a couple of weeks ago, actually it's about a week ago, he says, oh, a lot of big names. And I said, yeah, but I said, they're good quarterbacks. There's not great quarterbacks in there. Oh, no, this is the best guy. I said, no, they're good quarterbacks in there, not great quarterbacks in there. So, now let's get to Golden State. I was going to get to this. I said, yeah, we'll wait till the next segment. Draymond Green's done it again. I'm sorry, after a while, it's no offense, it's not worth it. And you're talking about third ejection this year. And in the third quarter, he swung and hit a Phoenix player in the head while defending him. At first, Green's back was turned to Nurkic, repeatedly held Nurkic off him. Okay. Eventually, Green turned and hit him in the head with his hand. They called it a flagrant two. Now, Green did say after the game, I'm not one to apologize for things I mean to do, but I do apologize to Youssef because I didn't intend to hit him. I sell calls with my arm, so I was selling the call, and I swung it. Unfortunately, I hit him. All right? Now, that part I understand, but here's the issue right now with Golden State, and this is very hard for sometimes fans to accept. Fans don't accept that there are windows. And you can maybe avoid windows by replenishing through free agency or transfer portals or things like that. You can keep refreshing your roster doing it that way. But here's Golden State, which has been legitimately an outstanding team for years. They grew up together. Thompson, Curry, Green, they grew up together. There's a period of time the Warriors were not really a good team. Right, you could just. I remember saying on this show, 9, 10 years ago, I'll stay up and watch a Golden State game because they're so entertaining. Right? This is when they weren't a great team. I said, that's the one team I'll watch that team play anytime. They're entertaining. They're fun to watch. Right? Well, then they got really good. Well, now the man that is absolutely undefeated and has a forever track record has now infiltrated the Warriors locker room, and that is Father Time. It's hard to believe that Steph Curry is older now. It's hard to believe that Klay Thompson is older now. Draymond Green is older now. But guess what? We are now a quarter of the way, a little bit more than a quarter way through the season. And guess what? They're on the outside of the playoffs looking in. They're the 11 right now in the West. Doesn't mean they can't catch fire. But they are now suffering from Father Time disease. They've tried to inject some younger players in there, like Andrew Wiggins and so forth, who helped them in their title run when they beat the Celtics. But Father Time is winning there. The 2027 Super Bowl looks like it's going back to Los Angeles. Super Bowl 61. You're going to vote at the league meetings in Dallas. That's the one that Joe Buck and Troy Aikman will get to do. That's the ESPN-ABC Super Bowl. When they got the new contract, this is the one they're supposed to get. So the way it lines up is that Las Vegas, Allegiant Stadium gets it this year. The Superdome in New Orleans gets it next year. Then it goes to Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara, the home of the 49ers in 26. And then SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles will get Super Bowl 61. And now we're going to get to franchises. Todd, first of all, how are you today? Doing all right?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Good. Good. So watch for the Washington Wizards and the Washington Capitals to move. They are moving. They're going to go from downtown D.C. about five blocks from the White House to Alexandria across the river. They're going to unveil it at a news conference, Governor Glenn Youngkin, today, that they're going to move to a massive new development in Alexandria's Potomac Yard neighborhood. I don't know how often you've been to Alexandria, but, I mean, it's nice there. There's no question. My daughter lived for a period of time there. The Virginia lawmakers voted Monday to approve the arena project. Final vote by the state's full General Assembly is needed to pass the project. It would create an 8 million square foot campus site in Alexandria. Teams could break ground in 2025 and begin playing there in 28. Now, the Capitals and Wizards are currently playing at Capital One Arena downtown. They've been there since 97. Look, the arena's nice. I mean, I've done a couple of Georgetown games in there. I've done a Big Ten tournament in there, so I've been in the arena many times. It's nice. You know, it's typical of most arenas like that. It's, you know, it's nothing special about it. It's just nice, very nice. They've been discussing the city's possible contributions to arena renovations. Ted Leonis had been seeking $600 million in public money. Yay. City officials have said they want to work with Leonsis to keep the teams in the Chinatown area of the city's downtown. As news of Leonsis' plan began to spread, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser announced a new bill offering Monumental Sports $500 million in financing for a complete renovation and modernization of Capital One Arena. The proposal represents our best and final offer and is a step in partnering with Monumental Sports to breathe new life and vibrancy into the neighborhood and to keep the Washington Wizards and Capitals where they belong in D.C. Leonsis could exit the Capital One Arena lease in 2027. Well, let me put it this way. If they break ground for this arena in Virginia, they're going. And it would take them out of downtown D.C. Look, the key with it, there are a couple keys with all these projects. And I'll give you two primary keys that are really important with where stadiums and arenas happen to be. And to me, they are critical, critical, critical. Okay? One is I need to have adequate parking for the facility. And number two, I need to have infrastructure to make it work. To me, those are the two keys. That's why when you see we're building it downtown, that's where I sit back and say, hey, wait a minute. Hold on a second. Let's take Philadelphia. The Sixers have talked about building an arena downtown. Why? You already have a complex of Citizens Bank Park, the Link, and the arena, all in the same section, all sharing parking lots, and all with infrastructure all around it. Philadelphia has one of the greatest situations of any stadium, ballpark, arena situation I've seen anywhere. Now, I have not seen Kansas City. I've been to Kansas City, but I've never been to the complex, so I don't know what it looks like. But it looks like that's the same thing. It's the ballpark, Kauffman Stadium, and Arrowhead using the same parking facilities. Those are the ones where you sit back and say to yourself, wow, that's impressive. That's the way it should be. And I've seen downtown stadiums. And, you know, the bad part about, for example, where the Dolphins are, the Dolphins have infrastructure and parking, but they're also 18 miles out of downtown Miami. Problem. Tampa, they actually have parking and infrastructure. They're in good shape. Jacksonville, parking and infrastructure, good shape. Now, the Mercedes-Benz Dome, where the Peach Bowl is, that's downtown. And the parking, I mean, part of it, you know, when you're trying to create parking lots by imploding the old building, that tells you something. And that's what they did. They imploded the Georgia Dome. And they created some parking there. Now, Georgia World Congress is also next to it. So, I mean, they utilize some parking there. The Meadowlands Stadium. I know it's, what, $2-3 billion, whatever it is. It's a good stadium. It's not a great stadium, but it's a good stadium. I've done a game in there. But the parking is phenomenal. And the access on infrastructure with Route 3 and Route 17 is phenomenal. It's outstanding. Jerry World, same thing. Parking, infrastructure. They got it. To share the same parking lots that they do with the Texas Rangers. Okay? Let's see. SoFi, eh. I mean, yeah, they do have the Forum is next to it. That helps. They use some of the parking there. Glendale's good, where the Cardinals play. Indianapolis, they play downtown. There is a separation between the dome and where the Pacers play. It's called the Omni Hotel, essentially, in the complex there, a little strip. But parking there is a little, even though Indianapolis is a spread out city, it's like, it's all right. Green Bay's really great. Detroit. They've got Comerica and Ford Field side by side, and then on the other side of the highway is Little Caesars, so they utilize some parking there. Pittsburgh's like, hey, we're going to build. Okay, here's one. Pittsburgh. We're going to build next to the river. Okay. So you look at PNC Park. You're sitting on the third base side, even on the first base side. Well, let's just say the third base side. And because of the way a ballpark is, everything for the most part is, right, upper deck, the whole thing that's at your back, and the outfield usually has fewer seats, right? So just like, boom, lower. Beautiful view of downtown Pittsburgh. Now they put the football stadium next to it, Acrisure. Okay. But what can't you see in that stadium? You can't see downtown in the stadium. It's a stadium. They're trying to build up as many seats as possible. So you've got to think about, the ambiance of downtown. Yeah, great. Because Oklahoma City has just passed a 1% sales tax to fund a new $900 million arena in downtown Oklahoma City for the Thunder to keep them there. And the Thunder would, in turn, sign a lease through 2050. because they want to keep the team. Now, they're the only show in town, so I can understand. But those are the two primary things. When you're thinking about stadiums, you need to think about parking, and you need to think about the infrastructure to get the traffic in and out. That's how I look at it. You may look at it differently, Todd. Or Todd might not look at it at all. Maybe Todd's like Belichick. I'm getting ready for Kansas City.
I don't know about that. I'm wearing a hooded sweatshirt today, though.
Oh, perfect. But that, to me, are the two big things. Okay, parking and physical infrastructure, get traffic in and out. Build the stadium around that instead of trying to, hey, let's go downtown. Excuse me, how are you going to park and how are you going to get out?
I was going to say, as somebody who's fairly familiar with Philly because my brother lives there, it takes us maybe 5 minutes to get back to his place in town, and I don't know how you would park in Chinatown, which is where they would want to build the basketball place. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
No, it doesn't make sense, and that's and that's one of the keys with all this. One thing about, like, let's take FedEx Field where the Commanders play. I will say this about FedEx Field. The parking around it's really good. Now, I've done a game in there. It's like, okay, right? Now, I know it's a stadium. It's like, eh. You know? But still. All right. Gambling and sports. Maybe we ought to bring the suit in.
I don't know. I haven't seen him all the afternoon. He's busy.
All right, Todd. All right, you've got the job. There's no need to suck up anymore. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay, here's one for you. Amit Patel, former Jacksonville Jaguars employee accused of defrauding the franchise. How much? $22.2 million. High volume, high stakes, daily fantasy sports player. Sounds like the corner office. Today's show, we're going to get more into this. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors. 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Care, Routes 11 and 15, Ummelsworth, online, sunburymotors.com. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.